Well, if you hear that clock ticking in the background, that's us getting closer and closer to finally another Commander's pick in the draft. We won't have one in the fourth round, which is about to get going here, but we will have one in the fifth round, pick 147. We've only got two so far, but at least it's two positions of need for the Commanders. Nick Ashew, Toby Altheiser, we're going to be here for 4 hours as we kind of get through the NFL draft, the later rounds. Maybe the Commanders add a couple of picks, Toby. Maybe they kind of dabble in a couple of other spots. But we know so far you got Sonny Styles. Seems to be some people are happy and some people really pissed off about that pick. And you got Antonio Williams. You got a receiver now in a position that was certainly of need, though. The size or maybe where he lines up might be an issue for other people's. Shocking development, Toby. People are split on what the Commanders have done so far in the draft.
Yeah, shocking, Nick, that everyone can't agree that they like what the picks were or they're frustrated, whatever it is. I'm surprised that there's anybody that's frustrated by Sonny Styles' pick. I heard the end of AWOD's show and there was a caller that was frustrated about the Sonny Styles' pick. I don't quite get that one. There was a lot of consternation. Last night I was doing a show with Linnell over on the 980 talking about the draft, and so many people were frustrated with the Antonio Williams pick, which I didn't get. I think he's going to be able to help this team right away, but I think what they've been able to do through 2 days of the draft is improve this football team. They've only had the two picks, like you said. You kind of got to remind yourself, as you don't get a second-round pick, you don't have a fourth-round pick. That's Laremy Tunsil, so every time you're a little bit worried or frustrated that they're not a part of this, you can understand that having a left tackle that you can trust is a good thing as well. So I'm fine with that, but it is kind of tough when you see so many good players going off the board on day two, and then we'll see what happens here on day three. But I think what they've done with their minimal amount of picks so far has been a good thing.
You know, you bring up, I think it kind of encompasses where we are right now. We're such prisoners of the moment, right? As fans, media, like all of that. It's natural. Right now is the draft, and it's what teams are doing in the draft. The Jets had a really good first round. You see the Cowboys, you know, getting a couple of picks, and they're aggressive, and the Giants, too, in the top 10. And people are going to watch that and go, well, what about us? We don't have a second-round pick. We don't have a fourth-round pick. That's the key right there, is it, let's not forget, you've also got yourself a left tackle that was one of the best in the NFL this past year in Laremy Tunsil. So anytime you sit and think about needs that you – and listen, this is coming from somebody here in me, Toby, that said, I'd love them to trade back. I'd love them to get a second-round pick, but yeah. I also really wanted Sonny Styles. You now have – yes, you've still got needs on this team. Yeah, they could use a center. Yeah, they could use another corner. Yeah, there's other spots that this team's going to need to address. But the reason why they don't have a second, they don't have a fourth, as the fourth round gets underway, it's going to be about having a left tackle, which is also massively important, protecting, and the guy that you hope is going to be your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I thought for me, if they would have had the option to trade down, that would have been my number one choice. I don't know how realistic of those options there were, but I mean, you got to be pretty happy with the idea of walking away with probably the most athletic guy in the draft. I mean, it's him. Maybe you want to talk about the safety from Oregon, Dylan Thienemann, but I mean, you look at the size and the way that Sonny Styles can move. So to get him at 7, you know, maybe you would say if you could trade that and you could get a couple of guys, because the strength of this draft, Nick, wasn't necessarily at the top of the draft. You know, the quarterback class was kind of weak, even though there was surprising to see Ty Simpson go inside the top 13 picks, but the quarterback class was thought to be weak. Maybe the skill position players weren't up to their usual caliber. There weren't elite offensive linemen. Regardless, the strength of this draft was probably the top, you know, 90 picks versus the top 10 picks. But when you walk away with arguably the most athletic guy at a position that you need some help at, and I was talking about this with Darius yesterday, Nick, you know, we don't know what number he's going to wear yet. It could be number 6, like he wore at Ohio State before he switched to number 0. But say he goes with a traditional linebacker number and he throws on 54, Bobby Wagner's old number. If you didn't know what went on this offseason and then you turned on week 1 of the Commander season and saw 54 moving around like that, you go, what the heck happened? Like, you're going to notice a difference on this team immediately in terms of the speed with Sonny Styles. So I like what they did there.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'd love a number 0, but it just seems like they're not ever going to do that at linebacker because you can't. So wait. Can you do 0 at linebacker?
You can. Yeah, you can.
Okay,
I mean, it's Mikey's number right now, so I don't think that they're going to move Sam Ristill off of it.
I completely forgot. Maybe because I forgot because he had a season that was kind of forgettable at times. But maybe they'll move him to the outside and it won't be so forgettable anymore. Yeah, look. I mean, look, Bobby, it's funny because Bobby Wagner was still probably one of their best defensive players. And I know that's not saying much, but from somebody, there's a difference between Bobby Wagner in coverage versus Bobby Wagner in the run. And you know, that's at this point now, let me just say this. I would not mind if Bobby Wagner was back in a limited capacity for this team, but I think that that's we may be looking at a ship that may be of may have sailed. But you're not going to make everybody happy with the picks that happen in the draft. This is a guarantee. This is always how it works. This is just the way that it goes. But because this defense was so bad last year, so bad. Well, you had guys that just could not tackle, which is a basic fundamental of being a defensive player in the NFL. The athleticism and the room for growth for somebody like Sonny Styles, I get it. People probably would have loved to see Jeremiah Love fall to them at 7, would have loved to see Carnell Tate because you need a receiver and we got to throw in there. And as good as those guys could have maybe been on this roster, certainly a Jeremiah Love. The reality here, Toby, is that this defense was so atrociously bad. I'm so grateful that this organization wasn't even given the temptation to draft a receiver in the first round, to draft Jeremiah Love at 7, because I get it would have been tempting, and I get they would have added to this offense and would have given more weapons for Jaden Daniels in this offense, but to also support a young quarterback, it's not just about the offense. It's not just about the weapons that you have to throw the football. It's the fact that you have a defense that can get an offense off the field so you're not playing from behind the entire time. That drove me nuts more than anything else this past season. And there were a lot of things, Toby. But it was the fact that after the first quarter, through a majority of the season, through the long losing streak and all the primetime games that they were gifted when the NFL went, oh my God, never mind, we got no reason to watch the Commanders this year. It was the fact that after the first quarter, they're down 10-0, 14-0. You know, they've been outgained like 175-32 or whatever it is. And you're looking around going, this offense, even with Marcus Mariota, can't do anything because they're already down. They're already going away and abandoning the game plan that they had offensively because now you just got to throw yourself back into a game. So to have a defense that, in theory, can get more stops, does have more athleticism, can get after the quarterback more with what they've added this offseason, not just Sonny Styles, because yes, there's no defensive player that's going to totally change it completely for this defense all at once, but it's adding the pieces. Like, that's the big thing. I kept getting this on social media from people, and it's driving me insane, and it's like, there's not one guy in this draft on defense, even Sonny Styles, that can go out and do enough to make this defense better. That's not the point. The point is that you have to keep adding talent to make it a defense that's even respectable. Yeah, you could justify Jeremiah Love at 1 or, you know, at 7 and saying that's one guy that would maybe address a significant need for your offense and add a weapon. Thank God he wasn't even on the board. But that's the whole thing, is you got to add a lot of pieces to this defense, and people are getting, you know, mesmerized by the shiny potential object, you know, the luxury pick that they could have had. In reality, this was the right pick. Sonny Styles falling to them was an absolute gift from the football gods. Toby is not perfect. Yes, he could add a little upper body strength. Yes, he could get a little bit bigger, but this is a guy that converted from safety to linebacker in college and has the ability to kind of line up and is more of a hybrid role at times for this defense. When you're missing a lot of talent still, when you need all these other pieces, it's nice to have a guy that can fill more than one role too.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at a guy like him that's drafted at the linebacker position, which you don't generally see go in the top 10, or at least it's not as traditional as it used to be, you get a guy here that's interesting in the fact that, like I mentioned earlier, he's probably the most athletic guy in the draft. You just go back and watch his combine, and it was absolutely a show for what he was able to do. He's one of the top-rated RAS scorers ever at the linebacker position, but ever, period, in what he was able to do there. And so you get that in a guy that's still learning the linebacker position. And, you know, I'd heard EB and some others kind of throw the word project around with him. He's not a project, in my opinion. He's a good football player. He's still learning the linebacker position. But if you look at that Ohio State defense last year, there was Caleb Downs, there was Arvell Reese, there was Caden McDonald. But in the middle of all that was Sonny Styles making sure everybody was lined up correctly, making sure they were all set. And he's coming from a team that obviously had a lot of talent, but was running a pro-style defense with Matt Patricia as their defensive coordinator. So he's coming from somewhere where they are running something that was a pro-style scheme, was something that could translate to the NFL level. Now he's stepping into a different scheme now with Durante Jones and whatever they're going to do, but I think he immediately is going to upgrade this defense because you haven't had linebackers who could cover athletic tight ends or, frankly, could cover anybody. This is a guy that can go stride for stride with an Eli Stowers, who just got drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles last night, a really athletic tight end, or has to cover, you know, a running back out of the backfield or something like that. He's going to be good at that. Are there still things he's learning against the run, where making sure he fits the right gap and making sure he's able to diagnose what's going on? Sure, there are some things to grow, but that's what you get when you draft a prospect out of college. That's always going to be the case. Bobby Wagner would make mistakes in run fits at times. It's going to happen, and he's still going to have room to grow. But the nice part is now you have a linebacking core It's going to feature him, Leo Chenal, who is an expert against the run, and Frankie Louvu, who's a Swiss Army knife. And now you've got a couple of guys who are versatile. You can use them in different ways. And when you think about the way that they want to play defense this year with Durante Jones, having multiple versatile linebackers just frees up so much of what they're going to be able to do. So getting a guy like Sonny Styles, I think, made all the sense in the world. And you're right. I think when you look at where this team was, I think we maybe overrate a little bit how much injuries played a role last season, because I do think that even if everyone was healthy, they still wouldn't have been quite the team that we were expecting them to be. But regardless, you know, if Jaden Daniels is out on the field and they're special, he's special again, and this team plays better, having an improved defense where Jaden doesn't feel like he has to be Superman this season, I think helps him, because I think that's part of the reason he was injured a lot last season, was him feeling like, I've got to put the cape on for the offense, but also for the fact that the defense isn't stopping anybody. So he tried to do a little bit too much. That's why I think you saw him maybe play out of rhythm a little bit and all those sorts of things, because he was accustomed to that at LSU. So he knew what it was like to have to put the team on his back to try to go win single-handedly. I think he did that a little bit last year. Now, if you've got a defense that's respectable and can hold people under 20 points or to somewhere around there, 20, 24 points, and it doesn't feel like Jaden has to go out there and score 35 himself, now you've got a healthier Jaden Daniels, you've got a defense that helps out, and you've got an offense that doesn't have to hit on all cylinders to win games like you saw in his rookie season. So I think it's a good thing. We'll see if it works out. You know, we don't know. We're not going to be able to see until they step on the football field, but I love the process here, and I think he's someone that's going to step in immediately and make a massive impact for this football team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the injuries, Toby, absolutely had a level of a factor to it, but this team was just not as good and just did not have the talent they even had in 2024, even though they overachieved certainly in 2024. And when it comes to being Superman, you could really see it in that Seattle game before the dislocated elbow. Like, Jaden looked pissed for the first time on the field, where you just looked at him going, he's got nobody to throw the ball to. He's trying to do it himself. He's throwing the football down and slamming it, and not even spiking it for fun. It was the no-fun spike that you'd get after plays. You're going, oh, he's pissed. So you want to wipe the thought and the memory out of our heads from what happened last year, but they have done a good job certainly improving this defense. And look, if it's a top 15 total defense, that's a massive improvement from last year, and it puts the offense in a much better position to succeed. We did have one pick that's kind of, I'd say it's pretty important here. Jermaud McCoy just got drafted, the corner out of Tennessee, got drafted by the Raiders. Been dealing with a lot of injury issues. Looked at as maybe one of the top, if not the top prospects at that position, but tons of injuries. I mean, the fall for him has been tremendous. I don't know what a bone plug is, but apparently there's a bone plug issue that he's got to deal with. I mean, it's the torn ACL. It's a lot. So he finally comes off the board now at the beginning of the fourth round. The Commanders don't pick again as of now until pick 147. 800-636-1067. You got a linebacker in Sonny Styles. You got a receiver in Antonio Williams. You like it? You don't like it? So far, what the Commanders have done in the draft, 800-636-1067. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew on the Fan. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew here on the Fan. Jermaud McCoy just got drafted by the Raiders. Caleb Proctor, the defensive tackle out of Southeast Louisiana, goes to the Cardinals at pick 104. Commanders not picking again until 147. Sonny Styles, linebacker, hybrid, if you will. Antonio Williams, receiver. Those are the two picks that they got so far. 800-636-1067. You happy? You upset with these picks? And listen, Toby, too, like, you know, there's still a lot to unfold in this draft, right? Like, there's a chance, and I know these later picks, it doesn't feel the same, but they may add an extra pick or two depending on how, you know, maybe some trades shape out here. I know it's not going to feel as impactful, but there's also the chance, and I know this is an outside chance, but you get somebody in some of these later rounds that does contribute still to this team. But it is hard when you do watch a team like the Giants or the Cowboys, or even what the Eagles are doing. It feels like the Commanders have been a lot less active in this draft, but that's just given the fact you're trading a 2 and a 4 for a starting left tackle. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, you're less active in the draft, but you still feel better because you have Laremy Tunsil. I mean, the tough part is just looking at those teams in the NFC East, like you mentioned, they're all having good drafts, and that's the tough part, is just seeing good talent being added. But you just got to remind yourself that number 78 on that left side, it felt like you never had to worry about him last year. He was always protecting whoever was under center at their blind side. He was fantastic, one of the best left tackles in the league. So I feel pretty good knowing that Laremy Tunsil is going to be protecting the blind side for the next, you know, couple of seasons. And if that's what it means to give up a 2 and a 4 in a draft that isn't thought to be as good as other drafts, you know, I can live with that.
And it's clear they want to have an explosive offense. That's certainly what you add in Antonio Williams. If you want to talk about some of the route running and it can get a little sloppy mid-route or things along those lines or press coverage being an issue for him, yeah, those are going to be things. But every single player you have is going to have some level of a weakness, even somebody you draft in the first round. You get a little stronger if you're Sonny Styles. You can address that need. Somebody like Antonio Williams, you've got the quickness, you've got the explosiveness that they really want, but there are going to be things that certainly have to be addressed there, too. I'd like the Commanders to get a little bigger at receiver in some spots, but it is very clear Antonio Williams does have high upside for an offense, and I think they definitely want to move a lot quicker, especially when you're going to have somebody like Jaden Daniels under center a lot more, and we haven't had that very much. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Will in Stafford, my hometown. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm in the Ferry Farm area, man.
Very nice. Very Stafford nice.
As well. Yeah, I just want to say I like the draft, and I like Williams. I hope he's going to be a good player for us. But, you know, I look at that spot, and you had Branch, Bell, you had Malachi Fields, and Chris Brazel. My wife's a Tennessee grad. I mean, I love Chris Brazel. I love Jalen Hyatt. You know, 6'4", 6'5", Brazel, he's a speedster. You know, he was that big receiver, like you had just touched on it. We always draft 5'9", 5'10", guys. I thought Brazel would have been a great pick there. But, I hope Williams is good, but, you know, Branch could fly. Fields is pretty good at Notre Dame. You had Bell at Louisville. I just feel like one of those guys might have been a better pick. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Will. I would say to this, Nick, like, I understand there were a lot of frustration last night during the show about them not going bigger receiver because there were a couple of guys on the board. He mentioned Brazel there from Tennessee. I'm a little wary about Tennessee receivers after what happened with Jalen Hyatt. You even heard him mention there. He reminds me a little bit of him. He's able to run more of a complete route tree than what Hyatt was, but that offense at Tennessee is a little bit funky at times, so I'm a little wary there. He's more of a downfield guy versus going to be able to be a possession-style receiver, and then maybe Malachi Fields was someone they could have considered out of Notre Dame. He was a senior Bowl darling. I was kind of surprised, you know, he slipped all the way to 71. Generally, someone that shows out at the Senior Bowl like that goes a little bit higher. But regardless, you know, they could have gone bigger receiver. But what I think is funny here, Nick, is when you look at what the complaint has been about this wide receiver room over the last couple of seasons with Terry McLaurin being the centerpiece, the number one complaint has been they don't have separators. They don't have guys who just get wide open in the middle of the field to help out the quarterback. Specifically, that was the knock on Terry McLaurin. That's what this dude does, Nick. Now, is he going to be able to get off press coverage? We'll see. And are there ways that you can make sure that he doesn't have to deal with press coverage? Absolutely. So they're going to find ways to put him in good spots. But if there is a situation where you need a dude to shake his corner and get open for the quarterback, I think Antonio Williams steps in and maybe right away is the best separator on this roster at receiver. So I think fans, I think, are looking at they wish there were size, and I understand that because of what they've done the last couple of drafts at wide receiver. But I think the second this dude throws on the burgundy and gold and goes out there and runs a couple of routes, I think fans are going to forget about all that and go, you know what, we got a heck of a football player.
And you got to keep in mind, too, right, this is David Blau and an offense that's going to kind of look like Ben Johnson's. And this could be an Amon Ross St. Brown type of role for somebody like an Antonio Williams, where, you know, he ends up far exceeding expectations just simply with the way that they use him, which matters, right? Sometimes it's the situation you're put in as a receiver, as a quarterback, or whatever it is. And we know this offense, they want to make it look a little different. They also want to be able to run the ball a little bit more. But, you know, from a receiver standpoint, they've definitely added some guys that can get separation. They're hoping that Van Jefferson's going to be that guy, you know, or De'Ami Brown. And again, who knows who actually makes the roster when it's all done. But I like, there is high upside to somebody like Antonio Williams, but I do agree, and that's why I said it before. Will even brought that up. Like, size is something that they do still need, especially in the red zone when it comes to receiver, but that doesn't mean that that's something that they don't address. I mean, who knows? Sometimes guys also get released in training camp, and you're able to kind of fill those roles there too. So there's a lot of offseason to go with this team, but I think so far they've addressed two of the most glaring needs. Obviously, center and maybe corner are going to be ones they'll be looking at too, with 147 being the next pick for them. Let's go to Tony in Silver Spring. What's up, Tony?
I'm fine. How are you? The reason I'm calling, because again, I put myself with one of those people that is exasperated by the fact that other teams can draft guys that are 6'2", 3", or 4", and catch the ball with one hand and run 4-3 pass, and we can't. Obviously, those people who are catching the ball, they're separating somehow, you know. Now, Antonio Williams may be good, but he seems, he's shifty, he's fast, and he has good hands. Well, that's fair. But it's, in college football, there's 1,000 guys that can do that. And in my mind, Jaden Daniels needs somebody a little bit bigger who can sit down the field. He has Terry McLaurin, who I love, and who's not a big guy, but he's great, just like Zay Flowers in Baltimore. He's, he's really, 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 really good. Now, the other thing is like Sonny Styles. I hope he works out. But to me, he seemed like he could be just one of those workout warriors, kind of like Anthony Richardson was. I know he played for Ohio State, but, he's coming to the NFL, which is not Ohio State in the Big Ten.
All right.
So I have some issues.
All right. Thanks, Tony. It's funny, Toby. That is one of the things that people do use as a criticism for Sonny Styles. It's like, he's super athletic and looks good in these workouts. Like, let's also watch what he did on the field at Ohio State. That is kind of part of this whole evaluation, too.
Well, just go back and watch Ohio State. Like, to me, there are three dudes that jumped off the screen. Caleb Downs with his ability just to understand where the ball was going. And then Sonny Styles and Arvel Reese, you noticed immediately because of their size. And then the physicality and the way that they played the game, you noticed them immediately. So, look, generally when you get somebody that works out like that at the combine, people feel like, oh, he rose up the draft boards just because of the fact that he was a workout warrior. But that wasn't the case. I think, Nick, he was probably already a top 15 pick before the combine. And then after the combine, it just started to maybe raise it a little bit. But I think by the end of the process, when you finally get the coaches to be able to dive in and follow this guy, especially in a draft that wasn't as thought to be as great at the top of the draft, getting a guy like Sonny Styles, if you're worried about it, just go back and watch some Ohio State defensive film, please, and that'll ease a lot of your frustrations. If you wish they would have gone somewhere else, I can understand that, but if you just don't think that Sonny Styles can play football, go turn on some Buckeye games. You'll be all right.
they're not bad to watch either, watching all that talent that Ohio State has had. 800-636-1067. Sonny Styles, Antonio Williams, the two picks so far for the Commanders. They go linebacker. They go wide receiver. 800-636-1067. You like it? You don't? We're keeping it simple. It's not really a hard question. You're either happy or not happy with what they've done so far in the draft. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew on the fan. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew on the fan. Jermaine McCoy getting drafted here. Had Caleb Proctor go. We're powering through the fourth round of the NFL draft. No, there is no Commanders pick here unless they somehow trade back into it. We will see them at pick 147 at this point. By the way, Toby, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see how fast the first round of the NFL draft was this year versus 2007, the first year that Roger Goodell was commissioner? It went from, I think, the first year he was commissioner in 2007, the first round was over 6 hours. 6 hours for the first round. They shortened this just from 10 to 8 minutes between picks, and it was flying. You could tell on TV they were like, no, we're going to actually make you hold on that pick. We got to actually get to commercial here. The first round this year went 2 hours and 53 minutes compared to 6 hours back in the day. I love it. Let's move through this and let's keep going. You've done enough research.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. Let's give the quick analysis, but let's keep this thing going. You know, there's a couple of times where there's a trade or there's something, you know, some other storyline that you wish there was a little more time that you could hit on, but that's what all the stuff afterwards. I mean, the first round of the draft is on a Thursday. That's what all of Friday leading up to day two of the draft is for. So get it in, get it out. I like that. I don't love the fact that it felt like ESPN, NFL Network were a couple of picks behind. So I'd like for it to scoot up a little bit, speed up a little bit in terms of make sure you get the picks out on time, maybe a few less commercials or shorten the commercial breaks up regardless, which will never happen. But whatever it is, just like get us the picks as quickly as possible because I want to read the analysis on Twitter without always getting tipped off on what picks are coming. But regardless, yes, much, much better. Get that thing in, get that thing done, and then we still got 2 more days of the draft, so no need to be there for 6 hours for just round one.
I tried to stay off Twitter so the picks weren't spoiled, and the Ty Simpson pick at 13, it was live during our Game Day Garage live stream, and I saw it, and I was so mad at myself because I didn't want to see it. I wanted the surprise, and it was the worst time to get surprised, and I kept the surprise for everybody else, but I was just like, guys, there is something coming that you will not believe. Anybody that wants to be mad, at least you're not the Rams. There's that, the drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Can I pat myself on the back a little bit here, Nick?
Absolutely.
One of the things that I was advocating for as a possible trade down situation for Washington was saying, I need the Rams to fall in love with Ty Simpson and maybe trade up to 7 to get him. Now, that didn't happen, but I felt like I was in on Ty Simpson to the Rams quite early.
Listen, you were damn close. You were just 6 picks off, but you got the right player. I don't know. Did you predict what Sean McVay would look like in press conferences after that? Because it's clear he wasn't a part of it. God, it's so funny. Now he's all over the place. Like, no, 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 guys, everything's fine. I'm just grumpy sometimes. No, you didn't want a quarterback at 13 because you wanted somebody that could actually contribute now. But that's we will obviously get to that throughout this, too. 800-636-1067. The Commanders got Sonny Styles, Antonio Williams. Those are the first two picks. They got linebacker. They got wide receiver. You like it, you don't like it. It's simple. There's not much to it. It's all based on emotion at this point for us. Let's go to Rob in D.C. now. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Yeah, I don't have no problem with the picks. You know, the receiver can get open, look like he can get separation. I've watched some of his highlights and tape, so that's all that matters. He can just, you know, find some way to create a little space. I was just wondering about the size, though, you know, because that big receiver from Notre Dame, he's 6'5", and you just throw it up there, you can go get it. But I'm fine with it. Sonny Styles, you know, I like that pick. Like y'all was just saying there, Ty Simpson, if the Rams had moved up, then I don't think we would have Sonny Styles, you understand? Because that means they'd have changed the pick probably because somebody would have took Styles had we moved back. So you got to factor that in too, you know. But anyway, one quick question I had is about the lick-it-up kicker, man. Why the Commanders ain't inviting this guy from the Washington USF Football League guy, the kicker, you know, from the defenders. How come they're not even inviting him to camp? Because if I'm not mistaken, the Dallas kicker, Aubrey, he came from USF.
You're right.
And the Detroit Lions kicker came from the – so, and both of them guys can kick. And this guy, I think his name is McCain, last name McCain, he's showing it. He can kick, and he's kind of accurate. He kicked, a couple 60-yarders last week or whatever. So I'm just trying to find out. How come they're not even inviting this guy to camp? Because I don't have no faith in Moody. Okay,
thanks.
Y'all have a good Saturday.
Thanks, Rob. And here's the thing, and Toby, maybe they do. I mean, it's not like he's right about Brandon Aubrey. Brandon Aubrey was a UFL kicker, was an MLS player before that. I mean, you look and go, the UFL at this point has become the kicker, the minor leagues for kickers, I guess. The NFL doesn't have a minor league system, but this is about as close as it gets. Yeah, don't draft a kicker. Just get somebody from the D.C. Defenders like that. That's how you do it.
Yeah, so far this season, he's 11 of 12 on kicks, but most notably, 3 for 4 on 50 to 59 and 2 for 2 from 60-plus yards. So this dude is able to nail it from deep. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to have a kicker that you feel like you could depend on. You know, a couple of years ago, maybe wasn't as accurate, but having a guy with a big leg, Nick, that'd be nice. You know, it's such a weapon that isn't talked about a whole lot. When you have a kicker like Brandon Aubrey, where the Cowboys just have to cross midfield and they feel like they can put 3 points on the board. I mean, that's insane, especially with the new rules with the kickoffs and everything, where you only essentially then have to get maybe 2 first downs to be in field goal range. That's massive. And Washington hasn't had that sort of a kicker in not in my lifetime. not that you feel that confident that you're just going to roll out there and, you know, you get to the 45-yard line, you can roll up for a 62-yarder and you feel good about it going through. So that'd be a massive thing if they could find a kicker to add this. I don't know if it's going to be McCrane. I don't know if maybe they'd maybe take one in the 7th round or something. But, yeah, I'd love to see a improved kicking game because they just haven't had reliable kicking in forever.
You know, everybody wants to make fun of kickers until you need them to kick a 60-yarder to win a game for you, and all of a sudden Brandon Aubrey's a damn hero. And trust me, the last thing I want to see is the Cowboys having something that works, but they got a kicker. They got the best kicker in the NFL, and he's, you know, it's not the only one. Kickers just, I mean, I understand that they get to, and I'm going to phrase this in the right way here so it isn't clipped properly, they get to work with the balls. I can't. There's no way. The footballs. Toby, there's no way that I can say this other than they get to handle the footballs beforehand a little bit more and massage the balls. I can't. I can't do it. I'm trying. I'm going to turn into Chris Russell here and saying something that's going to be forever. So Just going to move on. But kickers are kicking longer than they ever have before because they're massaging the balls there. I'm just going to give in, and we're going to work with that. 800-636-1067. We'll talk to Ryan Horvath at 1. Cade Klubnik just got drafted by the Jets as well. He goes at 110 in round 4. Commanders aren't picking until 147. So far, Sonny Styles, Antonio Williams, 800-636-1067. Do you like it? Do you not like it? We're keeping it simple this first hour. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew on the Fan. Toby Altheiser, Nick Ashew on the Fan. Cade Klubnik, drafted by the Jets. So they got a quarterback there for the Jets, Toby. If, you know, maybe
did they watch Clemson?
That's the guy of the future. I can't remember when there was all this hype around Cade Klubnik. Yeah. The fall off of Cade Klubnik was just massive.
Yeah, I mean, everybody kept saying that this was going to be a really good quarterback, and I just never saw it. I don't quite understand what the hype was all about, but I mean, it's crazy because those Clemson guys, like I think there were a couple defenders that went a little bit later in the first round, like Peter Woods and TJ Parker, who were probably top 15 type guys. And Clemson was so bad this year that they slipped down. Antonio Williams, another one that was thought to go maybe a little bit higher than where he went to Washington at 71 before the season. And then they were so putrid that they just killed the draft stock of all their guys. And Cade Klubnik was near the top. And here he goes in the fourth round.
Well, listen, now Antonio Williams is going to have a better quarterback throwing him the football than Jaden Daniels over Cade Klubnik. So that's certainly the hope, as the Commanders drafted Antonio Williams and Sonny Styles already. 147 is their next pick. We're still sitting in the fourth round, so they're not up yet. 800-636-1067. We'll also talk to Ryan Horvath. Look at the bigger portion of the draft and a lot of the surprises, especially how that shaped things early. Oh, never mind. People just dropped off, so we will just move on from that. Listen, if you're sitting there for a while, we got time. We had a lot of people calling in here. This is the draft. It's funny, Toby, because like this is the time of year, and we all fall into this, right? Like, because if you talk about Cade Klubnik, and I look at a lot of the quarterbacks, there was hype around the quarterback class heading into this football season on the college side of things. Now we got the same thing for next year, where teams are hoarding picks and don't want to trade away 2027 picks and all these quarterbacks and all this stuff going on next year. And you know, you look at it and go, yeah, there's a chance, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful of sitting in that situation where you're planning for next year and you're hoping and you're praying, and then it doesn't actually turn out that way. Dante Moore stayed. You got a lot of these guys sticking around where it's like, well, wait a second. We actually have to wait a whole other year. But hey, if you're the Jets, you take Cade Klubnik, you're going to go in another spot and draft somebody else. All right, let's go to Aaron in Georgetown now. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let's go burgundy and gold.
I love the energy, Aaron. You can just do the rest of the show if you want, buddy. That is all I want. So I feel like, all right, so I'm gonna guess by your energy here, you're at least not pissed off at what the Commanders have done in the draft then.
No, actually I'm mixed. Like I love the positions. Like I thought he did great. I mean, really. Like listen, people don't understand our new defensive coordinator and the way the scheme's going to go. Styles is perfect, man. I mean, what if Styles actually went back into the secondary for a play or two like he did before? Because, you know, he did have a great tenure as a safety, and he hasn't lost any speed. I'm just saying he's going to fit in perfect. So, and then I love the wide receiver with the next pick. I just don't like who they picked. Mm-hmm. You know, I just – look, we went from Zach Ertz at 6'5", 6', whatever, to Chig at 6'3". We don't have any red zone threats. And this guy, he's little, he's skinny, and moreover than that, he dropped a lot of passes in college. He doesn't have good hands, man.
All right, thanks, Aaron. Here's the one thing I would say about that. Yes, the drops can be an issue, and that might be something that we are worried about. I will say this, Toby. There is a common trend about size at wide receiver. Chika Conquo, though, does bring a level of size. I know 6'5", 6'3", there's a couple inches that are a difference there. But, like, if we're being honest, you still have somebody like that as a red zone threat for this team, too. But, yeah, I mean, you can also use Antonio Williams in other ways, and they can get creative with him. There is maybe a possibility here, because I've said this, Toby, and obviously I don't think it's going to happen at this point, but it's one of those, like, they need help at receiver. Maybe it's just you bring back Deebo Samuel if it's for the right price. At this point now, it's obviously not going to happen, at least the way the roster looks at this moment. But you can use Antonio Williams in similar ways, some end-arounds, you know, getting a little bit more creative, just getting the ball in his hands where it's not always about going deep and just saying, hey, go long. It's actually a little bit more than that with him, too.
Yeah, Ben Standig talking about the drop rate for Antonio Williams. It was quite high. in his junior season where he was really good in 2024, 9.6%. This past season, just 1.8%. So he's worked on his hand, so hopefully you get more of the guy that you saw in his senior season in terms of reliability catching the football. But, you know, I think for them, they just needed a reliable second option, and it did not matter what that guy looked like. They just felt like they needed someone who was going to be the number two type of receiver, regardless if that's outside in the slot. They needed a number two receiving option at the wide receiver position, and I think they looked at it with the guys that were available, and maybe you would have preferred an outside for sure guy that was going to be 6'4", 6'5", could run a 4.3, but they wanted to make sure they got a guy that could impact this football team immediately and wasn't maybe going to have to require as much polish and work to get to that level. And I think that fits Antonio Williams. If you would have rather had a Malachi Fields, I understand that. If you would have rather had a Chris Brazel, I understand that. But I think for them, they felt like Antonio Williams was most likely to step in here right away as a rookie and help this football team out. And I feel like by middle of the season, if not even a little bit earlier, we're going to be talking about this guy as their number two receiver, regardless if he's lining up outside or in the slot. And, you know, I know a lot of people look at this and go, well, what the heck? The last 2 years you've drafted guys that were slot receivers, Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane. Luke McCaffrey's a little bit taller, so he can play outside. And Jalen Lane, he showed his chops as a punt returner, but maybe not as much as a receiver. But for me to be frustrated about that, Nick, I need to see Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane help out on offense before I'm offended that they took a guy that might take their spots. Like, I don't feel that confident either one of those guys stepping on the football field making a big impact. So if I draft a guy that's at the same position, but he's going to be more impactful, well, that doesn't bother me that much. They just needed football players to help them on offense. And Antonio Williams, I think, was the best option for that at that pick.
And listen, nobody at wide receiver besides Terry McLaurin has earned the 100% guaranteed roster spot on this team as a receiver. But you're right, Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey as return guys were certainly there was a major factor of them. I will say Luke McCaffrey did start to show flashes of being an improved receiver, some of the catches he was making before he got hurt last year. But again, then coming off of an injury, what does that look like? What does he look like, in camp and when he's healthy? And there's a lot of factors that are there. So yeah, stock up on as many weapons as you can for Jaden Daniels and David Blau so this offense can actually be, you know, explosive again like it was a couple of years ago. Let's squeeze in at least like one more here. Tim in D.C., what's up, Tim?
Guys were certainly there was a major factor of them.
Tim, you got to turn down that radio, buddy. All right, we'll take Tim down. He can't go to him. Let's go to Matt in D.C. What's up, Matt? Matt?
Can you hear me?
There he is. All right. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
Gentlemen, so I'm sorry to have to say it. I think this Antonio Williams, you watch his tape. I mean, this kid can just flat play. He's got skills with a capital Z. He is definitely a plug and play kind of guy. He may not have the most. I mean, if Burks, right? What's the name of? Anyway, the big fella we've got with all his talent,
Traylon Burks. Mm-hmm. You're talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like if he had that kind of skill that Williams has, he'd be a superstar. You know. So I love the pick. And don't forget, our quarterback tends to make people who seem like they're, you know, a half step out of the league into sudden, like, receivers of new contracts, like Diami and Olamide. I mean, Jaden Daniels will make it work. Anyway, yeah. hoping that Sonny Styles delivers on the promise of the kind of athleticism roaming the middle of the backfield on D that we have not had since that tragic week. In 2007, 2006.
Yeah.
To me, he is a Sean Taylor throwback in a way. We'll see if he brings the heat like Sean did. I mean, we had at that point our defense had the two hardest hitters in the NFL, right? LeVar and Sean. I would like to see people fear our defense again, and I think we took a big step in that direction.
Thanks, Matt. First off, that's not the first person to make that comparison as like the potential is there, Toby. I was actually texting back and forth with a former Redskins receiver about this after they drafted Sonny Styles, and he said the same thing, was like, dude, he could be. And it's, listen, comparing anybody to Sean Taylor is a tall, tall task, but Sonny Styles has the athleticism and certainly the skill set where he could be a similar type of menace for this team defensively all over the field.
Yeah, I think for you look at, appreciate the phone call, Tim. I think if you look at what they can do with him, where he's so versatile, because Arvell Reese gets talked about a lot and what he was going to be for a lot of people, he was the top non-quarterback in this draft, Nick. But I think with Sonny Styles, maybe he doesn't have quite the same power that Arvell Reese had, but he had some of that same flexibility. If they wanted to use him as a blitzer or blitz him off the edge, I think he could have done a lot of the same stuff that you saw Arvell Reese do, but Sonny was so good as a off-ball linebacker that you didn't want to mess with that, because why would you take your best linebacker and just throw him strictly on the edge when he can cover, when he can do all those things as a converted safety? So I think he's going to make a massive impact because he's going to allow them to do a lot of different things, whether it's making him drop deep into the middle of the field like you've seen Fred Warner be able to do for the Niners. If they want to blitz him downhill, if they want to line him up on the edge and see if he can get after the quarterback, like, they can throw him so many different ways, and especially with a defense that is as multiple, and part of the fun of watching a defense like this that they're going to be running this year, like the Brian Flores scheme, is you don't know who's coming, you don't know who's dropping. When you've got a guy that's athletic as Sonny Styles and having to decipher what he's doing, he could line up at the line of scrimmage, Nick, and then be 10 yards off dropping into coverage in a blink of an eye, and the quarterback hasn't had a chance to diagnose that he's not coming yet, and so suddenly, here you go, he throws the ball right to Sonny Styles. So I'm excited to see how they're going to use him. He's a chess piece that I think is going to be a really, really good player for a long time.
I mean, listen, it was the guy I was praying they draft. I could not believe he fell to them at 7, so I'm certainly ecstatic that Sonny Styles is there. We'll talk to Ryan Horvath next. Look, big picture in the draft, besides the Commanders, not only what they've done, but what the rest of the NFL has done as well. You can hang out if you want, 800-636-1067, Larry, Tim, Danny, Mike, all of you guys, like, just we can get to some people. This is literally all moving parts as we go. Commander's not picking again until 147 as we sit here now. Plenty of time for that. Horvath next here on The Fan.